Here we go.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey there, cats, kittens, Mike Coughlin here, halfguarded.com, doing an intro, because that's what you do sometimes, you do intros to shows. We have on this episode Danny Wagner. He's the drummer from the band Greta Van Fleet. You just heard a little bit of them. I played it in like 15 seconds, so it's fair use, I hope. Nobody sue me for this stuff, although, I mean, it would give them more fame, yeah? Super duper awesome band. Just before they break big in the world. Sue's lowly, sad, pathetic podcaster. I dig it. It's a good idea. Guys, go ahead and sue me for that. But I really want to thank Danny for taking the time out of his busy life there. Again, I cannot stress enough how big I think they're going to be. This is something new and unique in the world, guys. That's why I desperately reached out to them. I want to thank everybody at their management team there. Management team? Yeah, I guess that's probably right. Social media people. Their record company. Company? Label? I don't know how any of this stuff works anymore. Back in my day, we made mixtapes for people and thought that was something that people wanted to listen to. No. Nobody really liked your mixtape. But you will like Greta Van Fleet. We're going to have a lot of their stuff up on the website, from YouTube or whatever, halfguarded.com. And I should shut the fuck up, shouldn't I? I mean, it's been like 2 minutes of me rambling here before getting to the interview. Now, some of you are fine with it. Some of you are like, Mike, love your dulcet tones. You're a sexy man, even sexier voice. I say to those people, you got good instincts. But there's a lot of, I'm hoping Greta Van Fleet fans out there who are going to listen to this and go, shut up, dude. I'm like, that's fine. But one final thing, and I say this for the historians, this was real, guys. That's right. To my family and friends, my grandchildren one day that will look back and be like, what was Granddad like? I think I'll be called Granddad or Grandpa. I don't know. I never had one. What was he like as a young man? And they'll be like, well, you've seen him. You've seen how he did it. You ever listen to his interview with Danny Wagner from Greta Van Fleet? They're like, what? Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine if you found out that your grandma, or grandpa in this case, interviewed John Paul Jones. Yeah. Wait a second. John Paul Jones is the drummer, right? Zeppelin's drummer, right? Hey, hold on. Who is the drummer for Led Zeppelin? Let's see what Siri has to say.
John Bonham played drums in Led Zeppelin.
John Bonham? Where the fuck did I get John Paul? Is he the bassist? Who was the bassist for Led Zeppelin?
John Paul Jones played bass in Led Zeppelin.
There we go. Thanks, Siri. You're my new assistant. 3.5 minutes of this. Anyways, imagine if... Well, I don't care. John Paul Jones would be a pretty fucking cool interview, too, for your granddad there. So, yeah. I hope you enjoy the interview. And if you don't, you're not a good person. Anyways, I hear my dog coming down the stairs, too. We'll be back soon with another episode of Matt and I in 2 days. 3 days? I don't know. Going to Vegas this weekend, everybody. Shut up, Mike, and get to the interview. Fine.
This is fine!
All right, cats and kittens, I have with me right here Danny Wagner from the band Greta Van Fleet, and you're going to know them if you don't already, because they're probably the single greatest band that's coming up down the pipe. I'm not exaggerating. I don't know art, but I know what I like. So, Danny, how are you doing being on the cusp of, the next biggest star in the history of the world?
Surprisingly, I'd like to say pridefully that I'm doing pretty well with all of it, with everything going on.
Before we get going, I really should just say congratulations. I know you just graduated high school recently because you're that fucking young.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it, did you graduate and, like, the next day go on tour?
Yeah, actually, graduation was June 1st. We flew to Sweden on June 4th. So, literally 3 days after graduation.
Jeez Christ, man. I mean...
Yeah. It was a ride. It was a ride, for sure. You know, like, just going into it straight away without... I mean, there's only so much you can say to give an aspiring musician the idea of what touring's like, but you really just have to experience it. And we jumped straight into it, and it's been great. You know, we've all been taking it very well.
Was that kind of like your first real tour then?
Yeah. I mean, we had a tour that was actually during the school year, believe it or not. It was a 10-day tour, and it was during the last 2 weeks. So when I got back from the tour, I had 2 days left of school, but we had a tour with the Struts, and that was our first real tour ever of all time, and it was cool, and it's really even cooler to look at the tour status right now, you know, what we're doing, the steps we're taking. You know, we have a bus now, which is incredible, and back then it was a little tiny trailer that we bought, and a little tiny van that we bought just for that tour specifically, and at that time that was a step up, you know. So it's crazy.
So you're just a few months away from an airplane is what you're saying.
You know, if we're following the trend, yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, you guys, like I said, well, I mean, you've heard all the hype. It's really weird to me, though, to see this kind of hype that you guys have been getting, because, like, I don't even know where I heard you guys from. I have no idea where I got exposed. I just started reading and started looking at, like, YouTube comments, and YouTube comments are generally the worst human beings on the planet, and yet...
It's true.
But every single person had a positive thing to say about you guys. I was just blown away. I was like, this doesn't happen. The world isn't this nice. What the hell is going on? And have you guys ever wrapped your head around that? Like, oh shit, people really like us.
You know, it's a really interesting point, because growing up, I was always that nerd that loved to read comments and, you know, just kind of get an idea of what the world's like and how the world's perceiving things. And because it was just so intimidating, I basically, for the first few months of this, completely refrained from really looking in depth in all social media, just because it's terrifying. And I leave it up to, like, my family doing it, because they love doing it. That's how they follow us while we're on tour. And it's just been so much, like you said, positivity. And I think that's really what this world needs, is just positivity.
You know, something that wasn't positive, though. I did read once, is it true that you had to skip your prom to go on tour?
You know, it's not negative, though, but yes, that is true. That Struts tour that I was telling you about was one of those weekends. It's usually one of the last weekends of school. It was prom, and yeah, Sam and I missed it, but we were not really let down, because we were on tour. We were playing music. We were traveling the country. It was honestly better.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could have been awkwardly dancing throughout the night, or... performing with the Struts. I know it's a tough one to pick, but you probably made the right choice.
Yeah. I would definitely say, I mean, what a lot of people do understand, but a lot of them still don't, is it was what I'm doing right now. Getting to this point was a gamble, a total gamble. Especially because my dad is a teacher, you know, I always grew up and education is very important. Mm-hmm. And it really shows the level of support that we have from not just my family, but the community. You know, they had faith, and we just had a huge support going into all of this, and that helped us accomplish things that we needed to have accomplished with a specific mentality.
You know, speaking of education, you mentioned your father was a teacher. I think he's also your golf coach. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. You knew that. That's cool. Yes, he was the varsity golf coach for the last 8 years, and he just retired that position this year because it was my last year, and that's basically what he wanted to get through. It was man, it made it fun.
Is it kind of weird to have, like, a foot in, you know, one foot in each world, like this kind of hippie rock star thing, and then golf? And these worlds are generally, you know, have a lot of overlap, And yet here you, I understood you were a state qualifier, you know, a very good golfer. Again, like with prom, it sounds like you had to kind of give it up for that damn music thing that seems you've taken off, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's, there are so many differences, and to the average person, they would never put the two together, but there are a lot of similarities. That being said, you know, they're both things that someone can do for a lifetime, and that's pretty rare. And honestly, like, I started both of them around the same time. I was very young. Like, I started golfing when I was 3, started playing music when I was like 5. You know, I was very young for both of them, and they've just always been substantial parts of my life, and I'm never going to give up either of them, except for what it came down to is when I was playing golf, I always thought about music, you know, because mm-hmm. at least you have a lot of time to do that. When I was playing music, you know, I never thought about golf ever. You know, I'm playing music.
You mean you're telling me you weren't up there on the stage and, you know, banging out a riff or whatever they call it, and you're thinking, I wonder what it would be like to chip on par 3 at Pebble Beach. That didn't go
through
the
head. Yeah, right? No, that's honestly, surprisingly, never happened. Because I'd love to do that. You painted a really good picture there.
Well, you know, I mean, you look, the way things are going, you're going to have the chance to play Pebble Beach and the Masters and Augusta and all the, okay, maybe not the Masters, but at least you could play at Augusta.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's, I bring my golf clubs on tour every time just in case there's some days where we have time off and I get the opportunity to, and I've taken it thus far. I don't plan on stopping.
This is a very unique generation, it seems. You know, the previous generation, the guys, you know, these rock stars would be young. Like, you guys are the young, good-looking guys with the fresh sound. And they'd wake up every morning, they're hungover, they don't know who it is. And you're waking up going, hey, I wonder if I can get in a quick 9 right now. You know, there was that place
exactly.
on the street.
I've always been a morning person, too, growing up, because of that, which is just one of the many grateful things I experienced because of golf.
I feel like we should just do the whole show about golf now, actually. Fuck this music.
Yeah,
stuff.
Why not? Yeah, you can be, yeah.
Who's your favorite golfer?
Oh, man. Let's see. You know, I have a lot of faith in the young guys. They are, in a way, changing the game. So I've always been, you know, from day one, I was a Spieth fan. Mm-hmm. Growing up as a kid, I was a Tiger fan, obviously. But I love a lot of the older guys too, because, you know, like in music, I like the blues because it's kind of what shaped a lot of the pop and rock, you know, that followed it. Mm-hmm. So I like looking at some of the older golfers, you know, like Sammy and Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, and which is cool.
Have you been following Tiger's return?
I have a little bit, and you know, my dad and I always talk about it. It's our fun thing to talk about while I'm on tour, just because, man, you know, it's a good conversation, and yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you think he's gonna come back and win another major?
You know, it's more of a, do I want him to? You know, I've always wanted to. I will still root for him just because there is no doubt that he kind of just set a million records in his career, and he had. He was insane. He was the best golfer on the planet, you know, and it is the same person. So I like to be able to think that he can. Do I know? I have no idea, and I've never been a good predictor, so I'm not even going to try, but I'm rooting for him.
We're going to take that as a yes.
Yeah.
I think the thing he's like, he was the Greta Van Fleet of golf, if we're being honest. You know, that's really...
Yeah.
Where things come about there. You mentioned earlier that you started playing music real young. What was your first instrument you picked up?
Guitar, actually. I started playing guitar when I was 5 or 6. Actually, I think 6 is when I started taking lessons. I got my first guitar when I was 5. Yeah, that was my first draw to music, was the electric guitar.
And now you're playing drums. How did the transition happen there?
It's an interesting transition. I went, so guitar turned me on to music. It took a few lessons, you know, it was, I started getting good. I started realizing that, like, music was something that I had, you know. And I decided to do band in middle school, and that led me to not percussion, actually, but French horn in band. And I played French horn for 6 years in band. And then after that, I mowed a lawn for my neighbor. And for the summer, and inherited a bass guitar. So I started playing bass guitar. And then my cousins moved away about a year after that. So this is like end of middle school by this time. Mm-hmm. And my parents decided to take the old drum kit that they had in their basement. And what they did was they just put it in our basement. Since I had already had this collection of musical instruments, they said, why not? We'll just make a music room in the basement. We added a drum kit. And for like the first year, I hardly touched it at all. You know, it was almost like I was scared to, because it was just so potentially devastating. And then 1 year I decided to pick it up. And, you know, my dad always says, like, he heard a bunch of banging in the basement. And it wasn't until he saw me play with other people where he realized that I was actually playing stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I bought my own drum kit.
Do you think that having that
fell in love?
Do you have that background with guitar? Do you think that actually helps you as a drummer, though? Because, like, you know how a guitarist would, you know, approach a song. So you're not just a guy banging away. You're like, okay, I need to fill in here. This is how I can, you know, support them, etc.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is exactly the advantage that I have as a drummer. Because, you know, I play bass and guitar. I can understand both of them. Not just when I'm writing drum parts, but when I'm playing live, like, you know, it helps with that chemistry, because tightness is key in a band. You know, you want to be able to all be on the same page, and I feel like you nailed it. That is exactly the advantage.
You talk about tightness as a key. This is something I've always wondered, because I've never spoken with, you know, rock stars that I think are gods. You guys are from a small, small town, 5,000 people or something like that, in the middle of nowhere, Michigan.
Yeah.
You wouldn't normally assume, well, this is where you're going to have this prodigious talent all collected there. Yeah, how does that work? You know, how does it, you know, I can understand, like, there's a great guitarist in Detroit, and there's a great singer in Seattle, and they kind of get together and you find this talent, but what are the odds that you guys all live? I mean, I know that they're brothers, but still, you're all right there in town, and it just happens to be, it just produces something unique and truly special.
Yeah. And that's, you know, to add even further on that, the fact that all three of them are brothers, and that they were all given gifts for a specific instrument, is pretty, pretty crazy to me. You know, since day one, I've always just gone, how the hell were you born a singer, you born a guitarist, and you born a bass player? You know, and then I grew up literally five miles away down the road. It's like, what the hell, you know?
Is there a little rivalry between you and the brothers? Like, oh, those three are there, I gotta stand my ground here, and every once in a while I'll just punch somebody to alpha male myself in the band.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of helps that physically I'm a little bit larger. I'm not saying anything, but, you know, we all have our place. A lot of times I'm the mediator, actually, which is hilarious, just because they're brothers, you know.
So they pick the youngest and biggest guy to mediate.
You know what? When you put it that way, it sounds pretty ridiculous, but preposterous, rather than. But yeah, I guess so.
That's rock and roll. It's supposed to be ridiculous and preposterous, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you know, you're right. I take that back.
All right, we'll get to the question you've probably been asked 1,000 times, but I'm sure people want to hear it in your words. What's the origin of the name Greta Van Fleet?
All right, so in this tiny town of somewhere around 5,000 people, there's one woman there. Her name is Gretna Van Fleet, with an N in the Gretna. And we really don't have any relation to her. Other than the fact that the name was brought about one day, way early on, before I was actually even in the band, and it was just the name that had floated about, and the band needed a name because they were playing their very first show the next day, and at the time it was like, you know what, that'd be cool, we'll take the N out, it's a little bit easier to say, and it's, you know, it kind of leaves you hanging, it doesn't give you anything to expect when you're going to see the band, because it was this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the feedback we got from, or they got, rather, from that first show. And it's just stuck around ever since. She's just a town elder.
Is she, like, a little bigger celebrity now?
You know, it's funny you say that, because while we were on that Struts tour, a local news station actually tracked her down and, like, went to her house and knocked on her door and asked if they could do an interview. And they did a whole feature on her, and in relation to our band, which is cool.
It's like the whole town. Are you guys like the pride? Was it Frankenmuth? Is that, am I saying that correct?
Yeah, Frankenmuth. Yep.
Are you guys the pride there? Like, you got like this whole town rooting for you and like sending you care packages and like, hey, you guys can do it. Come on, Danny. You know, play that drum fill even better.
Yeah, you know, it's, we have a huge support and fan base. And it's every single time, I can prove it, because every single time we have a local show, almost half or even more sometimes of the crowd are all people that we know in, or in one way or another, you know, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's teachers, you know, they're all, it's such a small community, you know, word gets around fast and they just, you know, they love coming to the shows. So they're very supportive, yes.
Given, you know, again, the age that you've grown up, I've grown up in the same, pretty much the same age. I'm not like, you know, 50 or some shit. Is it, you've obviously have all this knowledge of the past mistakes and pitfalls that have, you know, captured musicians. But more than that, you live in this, you mentioned earlier, the social media, everything you do will pretty much be documented from now on for the rest of your life. Is it a little intimidating? Do you worry about that? You know, how do you, are you concerned about your privacy in the future? You know, kind of speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is very intimidating because of the potential disasters that any single figure with, you know, an upcoming status should be aware of. But the thing is me personally growing up, I always grew up with the mentality of half glass full. And, you know, even though there are little holes you can dig and, you know, low spots involved with social media and whatnot, it is a tool. And the industry is undoubtedly not what it was, you know, years ago when some of the other bands that are we are compared to when they were making it. So it's a matter of really just understanding what the industry is like now. You know, you don't make music from, or you don't make money from, selling your music anymore. It's a fact that it's completely, and, social media is a tool, and you just have to understand that, you know, keep everything positive. But yes, it is very intimidating.
Is that, kind of, I guess, again, that's unique in that you're part of this generation where somebody goes, I got a hit song, but you're not seeing money from it like they would in the past. We're like, oh, we went platinum. We have, you know, I saw you guys have like 2 million views on YouTube. And back in the day, if 2 million people bought your album, you'd be sitting in a gold boat right now. But instead, you guys,
oh, absolutely.
Now you got to go out there and just work the tour. Is it kind of almost a little bit of a, you know, before the commercialization of music, it sounds like this is what it was like. You go out there, you make your song, and you just entertain people live.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a great team, and we realize, you know, we have a social media team, which honestly helps us out a lot in that realm. We use it as often as we can, and it's still, I'd like to think, more often than most bands personally use or run their social media accounts. Because what people don't know is a lot of it is us posting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just because it is the way for us to connect to fans. And I actually take advantage of when they message me, you know, pictures and artwork and whatnot. I love to message them back. It's just, it's a fun thing that I like to do in my off time. Because it's just getting to know people, mm-hmm. You know. There are great people out there.
Do you have the sensation that you're kind of in this really special period of your life where in 5-10 years that's not going to necessarily be a viable option for you to reach out and connect with people like you can do right now?
Absolutely. That is a large part of it. I'm very aware, which is ironic because at the same time I'm intentionally unaware of, you know, what's going on. And it's just a matter of taking advantage of it while you can. And I actually said this to my parents the other day, but 2017 is probably one of the biggest years of my entire life. You know, I turned 18, I signed a record deal, I went on my first tour bus, I left the country for the first time, you know, got to play in front of 13,000 people for the first time, opened for Bob Seger. It's just so many things have happened. It's honestly just unreal to think about.
So what do you do for a follow-up? What's the next thing coming on the horizon for you guys?
Well, we are currently on tour right now, and we're going to wrap up this tour. We're in Omaha, Nebraska right now. And so after that, we have the holidays. We have a few local shows, which are going to be excellent. One of them is actually on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
But January and February are dedicated to recording. Because On the Horizon is a full-length album, somewhere around 10 songs of all brand-new songs. The first full-length Greta Van Fleet album, in my opinion.
That's just, I mean, again, as a fan, it's outstanding to hear. I know we got to wrap this up here because you're just too busy, but I really got to thank you for this. Like, this is one of these things where, like, I've been doing podcasting for a decade now, and... Yeah. I honestly stopped giving a shit about interviewing people after a while. I'm like, people are kind of boring, but I'm like, I want to be able to say one day, no. Before these guys hit really big, I was there, man. I want fucking proof, and this is my proof.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Get in the final plugs, as I'm sure you're getting used to doing. Plug away.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So where can people find, you know, go through the website, all that shit?
Yeah, we have the website, obviously, which is GretaVanFleet.com. We have a lot of merchandise. There's actually some seasonal merchandise that'll be coming out soon. We have Facebook. That's also another good way to reach out because there are a lot of links and such on there. Greta Van Fleet on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter as well. And then, honestly, Google is loading itself up with a bunch of pages. Honestly, it's pretty cool when you can search GRE on Google and it's one of the options that comes up.
Jeez. Well, again, like you said, you're finishing up your current tour here of the Midwest. You got recording next year, and then I'm guessing you're going to be back on the road after that and come to a town near somebody, I hope.
Yeah, near somebody.
All right.
Or even in another country. We have a European tour coming up as well, which I think I should mention.
Oh, yeah. Mention the European tour. This is the internet. We go out to the whole world. That's one of the benefits. We're in Europe real quick.
Absolutely, yeah. In March, we plan on going on a European tour. And there's good news because a lot of the venues have sold out and are being moved to larger venues, which is cool. We're going to be hitting up... the Netherlands, London, Germany, a couple areas in Germany. Just, you know, a good year, a solid first European tour.
Well, Danny, I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you for taking your time out of your day here. And everybody, you have to check out Greta Van Fleet. If you don't, look, it doesn't matter if you want to or not, you're going to hear it. So you might as well get out ahead of it. So again, Danny, thank you so much, and I hope you have a good day.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, Mike.
All right, take care.
Yep, you too.
Get up, cocksuckers, it's all over. Listen, we had a rough couple of months. Fucking Katrina's cousin Maria, the other one, Puerto Rico, Houston, fucking Florida. Listen, it's been tough up to now. The earthquake in Mexico, you know, the White House, whoever the fuck is going on. But it don't matter. They want to shoot, it's time for us to fucking shoot, cocksuckers. They want to get down and dirty, don't forget who the fuck we are, you understand me? We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. You send a message to that fucking North Korean, he's going to be sniffing my dick and sucking my asshole. That's the focus. We're going to North Korea in like a year. It's going to be an island. It's going to glow in the dark. You know why? Because we're Americans, cocksuckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Stop with the gun control. They're selling more guns than ever the last 3 days. Stop with the fucking whining. Stop with the Russians on Facebook. I don't give a fuck. Worry about yourself. Keep your eyes open. And get the fuck off Snapchat and fucking Twitter, cocksucker. Stay black.